After the United States and Brazil, the country with the most deaths from COVID-19 is the United Kingdom, where Prime Minister Boris Johnson was criticized for not taking the virus seriously enough and then ended up in the ICU after contracting it. He has recovered and is now trying to stave off an economic depression while also keeping his promise to reach a new post-Brexit trade deal with the European Union by the end of this year. Joining us now is Dame Karen Pierce, the British ambassador to the United States. She's on Skype from Washington. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. Nice to be here.
Well, and when you look at the situation with the coronavirus at this point in the United Kingdom, there have been close to 45,000 coronavirus-linked deaths. That means Britain has been hit harder by the pandemic than any other European country. What are your concerns right now? Do you feel that things are getting better in the UK, or are they getting worse with COVID?
I think things are getting better. I think we've turned a corner. We have a number of tests that the government makes to see if we can start opening up. We've met those tests. So from 4th of July, what we called Independence Day, we relaxed some of the meeting restrictions. So certain events, leisure facilities, tourist attractions, playgrounds, parks, etc., they can open as long as they have good social distancing protocols. Pubs can open likewise. So we're getting back to normal. We can open places of worship for prayer and services with a maximum of people. And we have plans to get the schools back in September. So we think we're on track. We're not complacent. And there are provisions to go into specific lockdowns. Leicester, the city of Leicester, is one example, if the virus looks like resurging.
How do you social distance in a country that is so heavily reliant on public transportation?
Oh, well, that's a very good question, Jeremy. We do have protocols in place that limit the number of people getting onto any vehicle, whether it's a bus or a train. And people are staggering the hours at which they go to work and come home. So that reduces the volume. Because I've been here, I haven't actually been able to experience that myself. But the government gave the transport companies, particularly in London, extra money so that they could introduce these protocols for safety. And so far, that appears to be working. I mean, we do still have social distancing and we do require people to wear masks, or in certain cases advise that they wear masks.
You've been here the whole time. This country has obviously not gotten control of the coronavirus so far, at least in many places. What is the UK view about the United States and its dealing with the coronavirus at this point?
Oh, we're not commenting on any other country. Each country has its own specific requirements, its own specific problems. We've been concentrating on sorting ourselves out. We do cooperate very closely with the United States and a number of European countries on various aspects of the virus. So we have close scientific and medical cooperation. We've had a lot of cooperation on purchasing protective medical equipment. And of course, the US and Europe and the UK, we have all been working on vaccines together. And we have had the US take part in our big global vaccine summit that was to replenish the international funding for something called the Global Alliance on Vaccines. And the US gave a very generous $1 billion to that out of a total of $8 billion raised.
You're not commenting on what's going on in the U.S., but what about the U.K.? I mentioned that it has been hit harder by the pandemic than any other European country. Why do you think that is? Because many people will look at the prime minister and say he didn't take it seriously enough in the beginning.
Well, as you know, the prime minister actually caught COVID,
right,
and very, very bad bout of it, requiring his admission to intensive care in hospital. And perhaps I can just take the opportunity to say he was very grateful for all the good wishes he received from Americans at that time. So I think he's got real first-hand experience of how bad this disease is. We're looking into why we have had a relatively sharp dose of it. I think there are various factors, some of them, I think, around the fact that Brits traditionally travel abroad quite a lot, including in the winter months. But we're looking into what the causes might be. I think it's, we've said before, we didn't get a grip of testing soon enough, and we perhaps didn't go into lockdown soon enough, although there are pros and cons of doing that. Mm-hmm. But I think the important thing is that, you know, we're trying to learn those lessons, trying to learn from other countries, and we think we are now on track going forward.
Let me shift topics and talk to you about Brexit, because before the pandemic, that was the big story in the UK. You are leaving the European Union at the end of this year. But as we speak, there's no new trade deal with the EU. There was a dinner last night at Downing Street with EU negotiators. First of all, can you give us any update on how it went?
Oh, I am so sorry. I knew you'd ask me this, and I tried to get a readout, but I haven't been able to. But fundamentally, this was a dinner between our chief negotiator, David Frost, who's a great trade and EU expert and also a top-class negotiator, and Michel Barnier, who leads on all the negotiations for the European Union. We're very much hoping that we can intensify the talks, but it does depend on us being able to unblock some of the current problems. And those problems, in very broad terms, are around the flexibility, for want of a better word, that the EU can offer the UK. Part of the problem has been that the EU is prepared to give Canada certain things that it's not prepared to give the UK, and we're right on the border of the EU. So, you know, we think that's anomalous and we'd like to have that changed. We also need to sort out fisheries, which is always a very important issue in the EU.
But the question is, do you think that that can happen over the next several months with all the other challenges that exist? We, on this program, have gone over to London twice in the last few years where we thought Brexit was about to happen, and it didn't. It seems like we always get right up to the end and then there's an extension. Does the government feel that it actually will happen at the end of this year as planned?
Well, we use Brexit as an event that has already happened. So the UK has left the European Union, and now we are in what's called the transition period. There's no reason why it can't happen, let me put it that way. If both sides want to make progress, we can find a way through and we can get it done by the end of the year. The Prime Minister's been crystal clear he won't be seeking an extension to this part of the talks, and this isn't about leaving the European Union. These talks are about the nature and scope of the future relationship, notably in trade, between the UK and the EU.
I want to just ask you about some news in the last 24 hours, a directive by the Trump administration that would strip international college students of their U.S. visas if their coursework is done entirely online. A lot of schools, as you know, are going to be entirely online just because of precautions they need to take for the coronavirus. Is there a reaction from the UK government about that decision?
Well, obviously, we have a lot of concerned students and we have a lot of concerned parents of students. So this is something we're looking into with the administration and trying to get more detail on how exactly this will work. I mean, as we all know, because of COVID originally, a number of students right the way around the world had to leave their universities if they were abroad and go home. But we need to look into this and see how best we can help the students, and we're doing that now.
Let me just finally ask you, because you have been stuck in this country because of coronavirus, you haven't been able to go back home. What is the biggest thing that you miss at this point about the United Kingdom that you'll eventually be able to have again?
Well, I don't consider it being stuck here. I really love America. This is the fourth time I've served here. I miss my family. My family are back in the UK. So I'd like to see them, and I'd like to see my garden, because although I'm lucky enough to have a government house and garden here, there's no substitute for your own.
Is anyone taking care of it for you?
I'm very much hoping the husband and the two boys are.
Okay, good.
I wouldn't put money on that proposition, Jeremy. I really wouldn't.
That is Dame Karen Pierce, Britain's ambassador to the United States. Ambassador Pierce, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Really good to talk to you. Bye-bye.